Hey everybody, welcome to Tuesday Manna. I'm excited to get into the Word with you again, and I hope you guys are having a good day. Today is going to be a good day, so you guys join me as we pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the gift of life, that we get to hear your Word, and that you get to encourage us daily. So God, we pray that our eyes would be open, our ears and our minds and our hearts to be able to receive what you have for us today, because we know that you're speaking to us. Help us to listen. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we're going to be talking about shipwrecked faith. You know, I think about it, how the Apostle Paul, he called it shipwrecked faith. As we know in the book of Acts, he was actually in a shipwreck. And so going through that ordeal, which is pretty intense, being shipwrecked, I've never been in one, but I could imagine that you're never going to forget it. So he went through that shipwreck, and then he goes on to use his shipwreck as an illustration, okay? And the illustration is regarding faith, all right? And so I'm going to go ahead and read you from 1 Timothy 1:15-19 is where we'll be. And this is where Paul is using the shipwreck as an illustration. So I'm going to jump into it. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This I charge and trust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. There it is. So, you know, Paul's saying that, you know, regarding faith, he could have called it many different things, maybe a broken chariot or, you know, a crashed wagon, the things of their day. But he said shipwreck. Why would he use shipwreck? He's referring to us as ships. You know, the Bible refers to us as sheep, as goats, as, you know, the human beings, sheep and goats. And now we have here a ship. So thinking about this shipwrecked faith, you know, that there's actually shipwreck graveyards around the world. There's an estimated little over 3 million shipwrecks around the world, but there's hot spots where ships are just piled on. You know, some ships, they go on the rocks or they hit a reef and they, you know, they get shipwrecked right off the coast. Others are deep in the ocean and they're never found. So thinking about shipwrecks, why would Paul say that? You know, and I'm thinking about this, and this is something that I shared with our youth. What leads to shipwrecked faith? You know, there's literally millions and millions of people have had shipwrecked faith. They've either walked away from their faith, something happens where they just lose their faith, and he refers to it as a shipwreck. So 1 Timothy 4:2, it says this. It says, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Okay. It says that our consciences can be seared. And again, Paul, he actually says that rejecting a good conscience have made shipwreck their faith. So that's one of the steps of abandoning the faith or having shipwrecked faith, is rejecting a good conscience. And we know that a conscience is a gift from God. God speaks to our conscience. And what we just read in 1 Timothy 4:2, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. You know, when somebody gets seared, you get burnt, it kind of turns into like a scar, right, when it heals. And then imagine if you got burnt there again and again. Before you knew it, you'd have no feeling there. It would be hard as a rock, and you would have zero sensitivity. Well, that's what he's talking about regarding our conscience. When we reject God speaking to our conscience, when we reject that conscience, it's leading us to shipwreck faith. Before you know it, our conscience is so calloused and that we don't feel anything anymore. The Holy Spirit, the nudgings and the convictions of the Spirit are no longer there. We just can go and start doing things that at first in our faith kind of bothered us. We thought like, oh, I can't dishonor God like this. Or, you know, I did this, I made a mistake, and you know, it hurts my heart because I know it hurts God. Well, that becomes seared to where you feel nothing. And you just go about life, whether if it's direct disobeyment of God, you know, like a transgression. A transgression is saying there's a line right here. You cannot cross the line. I made it visible so you can see. But we see the line and we knowingly cross it is a transgression. And after doing that so many times, our conscience gets seared. And that's what he's saying here. And that leads to shipwrecked faith. And since we're a ship needs a captain. And I want to ask you, who's the captain of your ship? There could only be one. There can't be two captains. It just doesn't work out like that. There's a lot of movies from, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, Guardians of the Galaxy, where people who are the captain of a ship and they fight. There's another captain and they'll fight when they're navigating and they get in a wreck. It just doesn't turn out. That's how it is with us. If we're a ship, there should be a captain, only one captain. And I want to ask you again, who's the captain of your ship? I want to read another verse to you. So this verse is Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So think about that. You can't have two masters. You can't have two captains on the ship. And in all honesty, I don't want to be the one navigating my ship. I want to make sure that Christ is a captain of my ship, taking me where I need to go, because he knows the routes that I need to go. There's a destination that I'm getting to, that you're getting to as a believer. And another piece of advice, since we're ships, is stay on course. I know that things can be enticing and tempting, wanting us to go off course. Since we're our own captains at times, when we're our own captains, we'll go off course and we'll get into some dangerous grounds where we can be in danger of being shipwrecked. And you know, I think there's a lot there of why Paul calls us ships. He refers to our faith as ships, which is pretty interesting. So we need a captain for the ship. And, you know, the ship is made pretty tough to endure the waves and hurricanes. And that's how we are. Like, God has enables us and strengthens us as we go through these trials of life, so to speak, and the waves are hitting against our ship. God is our captain, right? And he's taking us where we need to go. But there's times where people have become shipwrecked, where the waves were too much, where they went their own route and chose to be their own captain, and their consciences were seared, right? A good conscience is a gift from God. So thinking about this, I want to leave you with that today, is who's the captain of your ship, and stay on course, all right? Because we don't want to be one of those shipwrecks that are sitting in the ocean floor. We want to keep navigating and going to get to our destination, all right? Well, God bless you guys. I hope that encouraged you today.